Good evening and welcome to another week over at Hutton Orbital, digging out the nuggets of news from the salty seams of the galaxy.
We've banished that other lot, so we've got a little more to do this week. I've locked Harry Balzac in the galley, prepping some delicious treats.
And I've sent Lou packing again, so I get a little peace and quiet. Though, to mellow out our evening just a little bit, I borrowed a water spoon.
Well, it's nice to be here again. I must say, this chair beats that uncomfortable bench you normally stick me on. But do we actually have any news this week?
Well, let's see, shall we? If you dunk for too long, you end up with floaters.
It's time, gentle pilots. Please.
Quick trip trap calls silly goats bluff.
Raxler rumours rumble on.
And having told him not to be here tonight, I reckon I'd better read Lou's bit out just in case there's anything important in there.
As the battle for Dunker's Rest rumbles on, more and more pilots are being drawn into the conflict. We use the word conflict loosely, as at the moment, it's a combination of popularity contest with a pot of propaganda and a spicy side order of crispy crime. Sinbad the Bad's right-hand baddie, his not-apologising-for-things officer, has been at pains this week to point the finger firmly at the Biscuiteers, claiming that they, and not Sinbad the Bad, that have been picking a fight with Mobius, and in fact, Sinbad has been actively working to be the biggest loser in the region, whilst, of course, at the same time, praising the influence gains in other systems. Buck Naked, spokesperson for Lacon Spaceways and voice of Hutton's top trucker, launched an investigation, culminating in confirmation that the stats don't lie. And of all the missions completed by Allied forces, only two were for New Sinbad in Mobia. And that pilot has profusely apologized and sent themselves to the naughty step with a fresh toothbrush and a good dose of antibiotics. At which point Sinbad the Bad's pants caught on fire and his already aquiline nose grew that little bit longer. In the lands of Colonia, where the freshly baked biscuits stand guard against the hungry belly, the pilots of WNL sit by their warm ovens and they tell a tale. They tell of the legendary Duncan the Dunk, Lord of Dunker's Rest, and how he was carried far away on a mission of mercy, far across the Milky Way, so that his wicked enemy, Sinbad the Bad, could steal the throne of WNL. And they tell how other lords from far and wide came to heed his call for help. They tell tales of how, upon their return, unrest was rife, and Sinbad the Bad had brought his very bad friends to sit with him at Dunker's Rest. The harbour was a haven for the skull and crossbones, the red flag and the sigil of every dastardly do-wrong this side of Wolf 359. Duncan the Dunk and his fellow lords set about the system with the law on their side and rooted the wrong'uns to the four corners of the compass, plus a few points between that only really nautical people can name. The laughable liberty of Sinbad the Bad's regime slowly slid down the slider as the local population were denied their daily dunk, and Duncan the Dunk brought tales of the chocolate hobnob, the custard cream, the Oreo, and even the Stroop waffle back from corners far. Dunker's Rest still rests in the hands of Sinbad the Bad, but with the help of Duncan the Dunk and the lords from afar, soon the smell of freshly baked treats will be wafting their way through the corridors of WNL once again.
This is an all pilots warning. The brewery is opening soon. Before you all dash for your flagons, hoist your steins and grab your drinking horns, we're still talking about the other kind of brewery, the one that hosts the Brewer Corporation. With the final phase of testing now over, the Pilots Federation has announced that they've issued a large ship license for the latest class of craft to be certified spaceworthy and ready for sale. There are a few remaining tests and modifications to be completed before the official launch date of the 9th of June, but there has been enough jumping around in the last few weeks to certify that the Witch Space Cloud jumps they perform haven't brought hordes of Thargoids to our doors. The aging Witch Space jump was mothballed for regular ship traffic with the advent of the frameshift drive, being now reserved only for large capital ships. With suitable safeguards in place and purchasing restricted to only a handful of locations in the galaxy, the Brewer Corporation are trusting that the increase in Witch Space energies don't attract something scary from the lower regions of Nether Space. As it stands, the biggest problem that commanders are likely to face is one of finding a parking space. Hutton are expecting the shipyard locations to look like the car park of a DIY superstore on a late Saturday morning in summer, with arguments over who saw that slot first, are you going, mate? And of course, the obligatory dented panels as a result of wayward shopping type 9s full to the brim with stuff to stuff in the shipboard shed and never be seen again. We do have a special report from LCU No Fool Like One later in the show, as he's placed a pre-order for his very own COUS. Carriers of unusual size? I don't believe in them.
Excitement spilled over into civil unrest this week in Bernard Star, as a new record was set for the Bernard's Kessel Run. Not less than 12 parsecs, but around 260. According to an anonymous source. The pilot, who managed to avoid all systems and outbreak during the trip, claims that his piloting skills are unique. He implied that the journey could not be improved upon because he did nothing wrong. I could have done it with my eyes closed, he claimed. But we know that instead of getting his eye patch checked at his local branch of deck slavers, this salty pirate did the record run just to get his eye in. And because he's fond of Swedish music and cake. This story was first brought to our attention a few days ago by Golnet News journalist, now that they're bored. They're desperate for anything that might even vaguely resemble news and have been squashing themselves into tight spaces, ignoring each other's bad breath and everything else that they might be exhaling, and pointing their lenses at anything that isn't an empty space lane or closed airlock. Inventing whatever narrative will increase their circulation more than Winnard's does on a night in. Come to think of it, they're all nights in now, aren't they? Has its consequences. Various 105G probes have been blown up as perfectly sane members of the public have claimed that 105G radiation turns you into a newt, and that members of the Ursa Illuminati star are responsible for the mysterious symbols drawn on the walls of Cubicle 3. We urge all listeners not to be drawn in by such nonsense, and to remember the mantra, what would Cecil do? Whatever that is, do the opposite.
With everything else that's been going on in the galaxy, other than the wild speculation over the unsolved mysteries, very little has been heard from the Dark Wheel in an awfully long time. The supposedly secretive top secret society long associated with the word Raxla and rumoured to be the power behind the throne in the galaxy has had absolutely nothing to say about anything. The legendary tales of elite pilots admitted to their ranks, rumours of strange initiation ceremonies, funny handshake, and of course, refusal to discuss absolutely anything, have just fueled the speculation machine that is the Galactic Tinfoil Community. With a small office, a small political office, in the Shinrar Tadezra system, occupied by a very unremarkable set of bureaucrats, the Dark Wheel maintains an indifferent public face. Councillor Skylar Bean, possibly a pseudonym, stays very tight-lipped, and their aides, Envoy Ines Riddle and aide Charlotte Reynolds, seem to be simply busy looking after the bread-and-butter missions in surrounding space. Nothing exciting, very little that's dangerous, and certainly nothing covert. It's all very universal exports for those who are fans of James Bond. Hutton can exclusively reveal that a group of pilots, as yet unnamed, are planning to change the status quo, to bring the Dark Wheel front and centre in galactic politics, or at least at the local ballot box, and force their hand by bringing the name back onto everyone's lips. Unable to actually join the Dark Wheel, they're hoping to raise their influence high enough that someone either has to recruit them or kill them. We will have an exclusive introduction to this Pilots Federation team next week.
Hello, me here. Right, I've got his notes, so let's take a look at the state of Hutton systems at the moment. Everything's looking rosy in most of Alvin's backyard at the moment. Almost as flush as my cheeks were when I went out topless earlier. It's been an age since I did that. The wind rushing through my hair. You can stop looking at me like that, you lot. You know what I mean. A nice drive around O'Connor in Van Man's Star in an open-topped car. Anyway, things are looking okay. Barnard Star still has a little bit of civil unrest, and Hill Harp's Eye, home of the Banter Bus, seems to be a little poorly at the moment, but everything else looks okay. In Hanky's colon, whilst most pilots are off dealing with that Sinbad the Bad Fellow, our hot call systems have been a little neglected. The good news is that leaving them well alone appears to have cleared up that nasty rash that keeps them going around, and miracle of miracles, there's no election. King Hanky has asked that any work going on should be directed to the tier system. Keep an eye on your missions from other systems, as they do seem to be hurting Hot Call a little. So the odd donation mission when you dock at Dawler, Doritos or Fort Mug would be much appreciated. Other than that, the galaxy's quite quiet this week, so that's probably all you're going to get from me.